Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast, along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Benfica Independent, with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista. Só nós sentimos assim. Por muitos desgostos que possamos ter, valores mais altos se levantam. E o valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
Já está. Não se incomodem mais. Shall we start again?
Fucking mamador, bro. Mamador.
You know what it is? I'm going to tell you guys what it is. When you go back and forth between the house and Chris, there's always these settings that you have to put on this OBS. There's mics, there's different mics. There's the mixer that we got to plug in. Then when I'm home, I got a different setup. If I'm not paying attention, I don't do the right settings. And then Chris has been struggling a little bit with the sound.
I don't know what's going on with my computer. But Nick Valadon says we can hear Chris. I mean, Nick, isn't that why you're always
That's
here?
All you need to hear is Chris.
That's all you need to hear is me, bro. Brothers.
You need to hear Chris. That's it.
Nah, welcome to all That's the it. Freddy's before you get to Dave. All the Nick, the Valadon twins are here. Gil Rodriguez, Shabs. What else? SOBs. Bruno,
it's a packed house.
Tá tudo aqui. Tá malta toda aqui. Só faz falta que cá está. Thank you and welcome.
That's right.
What's up? Tá malta toda aqui. Força, carrega.
Right. Welcome to another episode of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, in case we didn't get that. Episode number 477 is what we're serving up tonight. As you can see, Island Invasion is the title for this podcast. We will look back at Benfica's game against Maritim. We'll also look ahead to the game this weekend against Guimarães, the first team that took points from us this season. We're going to look to make some of that up. But what's happening, everybody? How's everybody doing? We got a little wintry mix here and up in the New Jersey area. What's everybody doing? I know that Dave got another foot of snow over the last couple of days, so everybody's
really?
Doing well. But
Dave,
it's March.
Got foot?
We got another foot. I'll send you some pictures afterwards. But yeah, I'm done with this snow here. It's March 14th as we're recording this. Putting it out there. No more snow.
That's spring it. Is right around the corner. What's happening with this weather, man? I feel bad for those people out in California. You guys heard about
What's
those people
name?
In Northern California?
What's his name? Huckleberry.
Huckleberry Finn.
No, the little raccoon. Whatever
the,
it's called.
The rodent.
The Huckleberry.
Whatever.
There's no
groundhog.
Puxatony Phil, man. Puxatony Phil.
Puxatony Huckleberry sounded alike, bro. Yeah, that guy. he came out, right? Didn't he come out?
I don't know. He came out. I have no idea because here's the thing with Puxatony. And for you guys that don't know, right? So in the U.S., February 2nd is Groundhog Day. And the U.S. has this tradition of there's a groundhog. And I'm trying to figure out what the groundhog would be in Portuguese. I guess it's kind of like a...
O porco like a, buraco.
It's called groundhog. It's called groundhog in Portugal. I don't know. Well, anyway,
but here's the on Google Translate.
What it, Marmota. Marmota. Yeah. So here's the thing, right? The thing is that every February 2nd at 5 a.m., all of these people congregate around the supposed home or in a tree, whatever it is, for this animal. And the saying goes, if he sees the shadow, it's what, five more weeks of winter?
Six more weeks.
If he does not see his shadow, that means that winter is coming to an end, right? And sorry to over-explain that, right?
It's kind of like a fat guy. If he goes pee and he can't see his thing, quiz it off either. You better go out and die.
But anyway, it's somewhat of a spectacle, right? And at this point, you got thousands and thousands of people congregating on this place in rural PA. And how does they basically pull him out of the tree? How does he see his shot? I mean, it's total bogus, but it's a tradition, right? So anyway, let's get into the podcast. Let's start with the Marítimo game. Benfica traveled to Funchal to play Marítimo. Vlaco Dimos was in goal. Ba, Silva, Otamendi, Grimaldo, Tino and Chiquinho, João Mário and Auschnes, Neres and Ramos were the lineup. So we found out before the team traveled to Madeira that Rafa had picked up a cold and did not travel. Guedes, we also know or have known before the game that Guedes went surgery on his meniscus, if I'm not mistaken. He's probably done for the season. Draxler, as you guys all know, done for the season. But Cristiano, Vlaco Dimos renewed before this game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What are you doing? 2027? 2.6 million?
There's that lifetime contract you wanted, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this lifetime, it's only five more years or four, actually, right? But it's a nice, hefty extension. I mean, the dude wanted a pay raise, and he definitely got one. So, agora, yo, gamba da feita, it is what it is. And just hope he plays it to the best of his ability and helps Benfica win a lot of games and championships, hopefully.
Yeah, Reigning Entertainment is already dropping it down. Entrada Pejun Sport didn't see the groundhog this year. I like it. So anyway,
Groundhog's fault.
Benfica, good win by Benfica. 3-0 goals from Neres and João Mário. Convincing win by Benfica, dominating first half, but we missed a lot of chances in the first half. We could I could count probably 7 chances at least in the first half. That counts the penalty that João Mário missed. But yeah, dominating performance by Benfica in the first half, and the second half was more of that. In the 57th minute, we already had put the game away with our third goal. That goal coming from Neres with an assist from Grimaldo, who had also assisted João Mário on the second goal. The first goal was by Neres, and that was assisted by João Mário. So a convincing win for me. Watching this game, I don't think Benfica ever feared losing this game, or I don't know if you guys were ever not confident that Benfica was going to see this through. I just thought that, you know, you look at this game and you look at games like we've had against Boavista where we struggled and everything that we threw at the goal, nothing was going in. To be able to see that goal go in before the half, Dave, that was a relief.
Yeah, definitely a big goal before the half. Like you said, it's not that the team wasn't creating the chances, because the chances were just definitely there, but we lacked that finishing effort in front of goal. And Maritmo's goalie made a couple of big saves too in that first half. But as soon as that that one goal came right at halftime, gave a little bit of the boys a little bit more relaxed going into the second half. And you could tell, especially they get back on the board quickly there to start the second half. So once we've seen it time and time again, once Benfica gets that goal against these smaller teams that just like to park the bus, it kind of opens up the floodgates. So it could have gone the other way, especially like with João Mário missing the PK, I know he's been money most of the time, but he really is in place in these balls where you typically want your PK specialist to be placing him. He's been getting the goals, but they haven't been placed the right way, and this one was just completely off. I don't know if they stacked two nets on top of each other, if they would have been able to count with that one. But all in all, we got the goal going into halftime there.
I heard that that ball hit Cristiano's statue in the airport in the face. But look, I think it's one of those things that the team had to, as you mentioned, Dave, have felt relieved and some of the pressure lifted off, because it could have been one of those games where you're sitting there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you don't score a goal. Be as it may, but luckily we were able to get that goal. And yes, somebody said that that third goal was a beauty. Football champagne, Red Baron is saying. Chris, watch the game?
Yeah, of course.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a game.
Yep. I thought that too, but anyway, while Chris figures out what's going on with him, go ahead, Ben. All right, my laptop.
I was saying, dude, my laptop. I got three MacBooks in here, and I can't get none of them to work. So I'm doing this crap on my phone. So excuse.
Why don't you do it on your tablet, dude?
Because I don't. Yeah, I probably could, right? Just change my AirPods. Yeah, I'm lost. I can't comprehend what the hell is going on with my laptops. So I apologize for any disorganization on my behalf. As far as Benfica goes, yeah, it turned out to be a game that wasn't as complicated as I initially thought. Being brutally honest, I was going to throw a couple bucks on Benfica in one of those wagering sites. And I was really going to go with the 3-0, but then I started thinking, Rafa's not the game. These guys are going to be, you know, sitting low and defending and making things really difficult for Benfica. And I opted not to do it, but in the end, it turned out to be a 3-0 result. Benfica had plenty of opportunities, as you guys both mentioned, and rightfully so. It's starting to feel like one of those games that the ball was not going to go in today. No matter what Benfica did, the ball was not going to win. But at no point throughout at least, you know, the first 40 minutes that did I ever start worrying, or did I ever, you know,
Sei lá, o que é que a menina te quer dizer? O que é que a menina quer dizer?
She asked about Benfica game. I don't know.
Tell her to listen. You're talking about it.
Dude, I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to pay attention to 20 different things. It's just not a good day for me today. But what the hell was I saying? Yeah, I never thought for a second that Benfica was in danger of losing this game, because as I was saying, Benfica was creating chance after chance, and it was just a matter of time before the ball went back in the net, and that's exactly what happened. It turned out to be a very comfortable win. Benfica initially struggled in the first, like, 15 minutes. It seemed as if, you know, Marítimo were really pressing on, and they were having most possession of the ball. Benfica struggled a little bit to gain possession of the opposition's third. But after that, it was just, a nice walk in Madeira for the boys. And it turned out to be, you know, important 3 points for our Sport League with Benfica.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the most important thing going and look, every single one of our opponents is waiting for a slip up from us, but we continue to come in strong. 3-0 convincing win against a Marítimo who is currently fighting to stay in the first division. But in terms of stats, 21 shots for Benfica, 10 of them on goal, 49 actions in the opponent's half, 10 corners, efficiency on the pass, accuracy on the pass, 81%, accuracy on vertical pass, 69%, and defensive actions in the opponent's midfield, 23 in possession, ball possession at the end of the game, 55 for Benfica, 45 for Marítimo. And I think that Benfica, after scoring the third goal, they kind of game managed, and they gave Marítimo a little bit of the possession. Perhaps that's where you're seeing those possession figures. But look, it was all Benfica. Auschwitz was the player of the match for goal point. I don't know if he did. He get it for or Neres was the one that got it for Sport TV.
Neres.
But
yeah.
Man, but Auschwitz, man, what a player he's turning out to be. A guy that came from out of nowhere, virtually unknown by most Benfiquistas, came in, made a difference right away, and continues to make a difference because of his flexibility and his adaptability to the many positions within the midfield. But Chris, forgetting the Argentinian guy that left Benfica a couple of months ago, is Auschwitz making a case for being the signing of the season?
I mean, look, you have to be fair. Arsenal's been spectacular, but I think Neres, when he's played and when he's healthy, he's shown that he's also been a fabulous signing. I think for the most part, at least the key guys that the powers that be at Benfica decided to go out and contratar for the main squad. I think they've all pulled their own weight. I think they've all been spectacular throughout most of the season. But obviously, Arsenal's the guy that's gotten the most playing time. He's the one that's been adapting to playing out of his comfort zone. And look, whoever, should we say Roger Schmidt? Whoever saw and thought of this guy and thought of bringing him in, they obviously knew that they had themselves a polyvalent on their hands, and he's done nothing but to show everybody that he is a terrific player no matter where he's at. Obviously, I'd rather not have him on the wing. But at the same time, seems like that's where he's most productive, at least with these current players on the squad. And, as long as you keep winning, no stalker. Me equipo que se gana, no stalker. So credit to him, credit to Neres, credit to everybody else that's been able to stay consistent throughout most of the season. But to answer your question more directly, yeah, I think right now he's running away with the Conejo.
Yeah. Auschwitz, who picked up his fifth yellow card, so he'll be sitting against Guimarães. I think that, you know, I could ask you guys, but who do you think slots in there, Dave?
Looking at this lineup,
I think we know who's going to slot in. And Benfica
that's with Rafa being healthy, right?
Well, if it was just a cold, I'm sure he'll be good by the weekend, yeah. Unless he's got COVID.
Yeah, so then you
but even COVID's just 5 days.
Depends who you ask now. But yeah, I think Neres just stays in that lineup there and they swap positions and slide Rafa back in there. I think that was a little bit of some poor management by Roger Schmidt there. I'm going to give him any criticism that game's put away early, and you could have made those substitutions a lot earlier than he did. And
what substitutions, Dave? I mean, the game wasn't put away at 3-0?
That's what they were saying. To get Arsenal, so you know he's got four yellows, one more, he's out, he's suspended, so we mess him against Guimarães there. So why take that risk in having him on the pitch at that late in the game when the game's already done?
Yeah, both him and Tino were on the yellow card limits. But yeah, I thought that after the 53rd minute and that we scored that the 3-0, that perhaps Roger Schmidt would make some subs, but he didn't end up making the first subs until the 82nd minute.
You know, I thought long and hard about this, and I contemplated if I should come on here and mention it, because obviously, it's a foolish act to come on here and try to criticize a guy that's barely pressed, you know, the wrong buttons at any point throughout the season. But I really thought that Roger Schmidt has fumbled, you know, this situation. I mentioned on the last podcast, I thought Roger Schmidt should have introduced a Schaldrup and a Tengelstad, whatever, Tungstad, whatever his name is, in a Champions League atmosphere in a game that was 5-0 at the time. And then I thought in this game he managed it wrong as well. I thought Benfica had a comfortable enough lead. They could have just, managed the situation a little bit better. As you mentioned, Tino and Arsenal are a yellow card away from missing the next game. And I understand you'd rather get this out of the way before playing the potential last game against Rio Ave before you play football with the Porto, and then you're missing them for those games. I understand you want to get that out of the way. But I thought he waited too long to make the substitutions. I thought he brought in Tankstad and Schaldrup way too late in this game. And it's been a constant throughout the season. In the first half of the season, if you guys recall, I came on this podcast and I often complained about the lack of options on the bench, right? I criticized Chiquinho, criticized Diogo Gonçalves, just to name a few, Musa, to name a few. And obviously, Benfica has done a good job in strengthening themselves and getting Gonçalves, who's now obviously injured. Unfortunately, he'll be back in hopefully 6 weeks. Bringing in the Vikings and a couple of other players that they brought in, and you know, João Neves being brought up to the main squad, and so we have different alternatives than we did before. But even then, we kind of just ignored it, or we played it as if, you know, Roger doesn't have confidence in the guys I just mentioned. But now he's got plenty of other alternatives, and it just seems like he's still taking a little bit too long to make that substitution that we all want to see so badly. And in this game, it cost us, because I don't think that yellow card that Arsenal's got late in the 89th or whatever it was, right, real late in the second half, I don't think that was a case of him like, oh, yeah, let me get a yellow card out the way. You could tell he was bothered by it. It was kind of an elbow. It was more of a bowl than anything else. So I don't think it was intentional. So, again, I don't want to sit here and be hypercritical of a guy that's done a phenomenal job for our boys, but at the same time, in my humble opinion, I do think he's fumbled this situation in this game. I would like to see him make a couple moves earlier.
Yeah, look, I don't know if he's just having way too much fun watching the team and just doesn't want to touch it. But, I mean, look, I think it's one of those things that – and you're right, Chris. The man can't do no wrong, and it would be shitty on our part if he came over here and criticized Roger Schmidt. But certainly, these substitutions – the game was well out of the way at 3-0. You could feel that Maritimo had lost the wind on their sails, whatever wind they had, if you can even call it that wind. But 57th minute, 3-0, you put that game away, you hit the 60-minute mark, you bring in three guys, right, to manage the situation. And that's how you manage that. But look, and maybe it was by design, right, because If Auschwitz and Tino both pick up a yellow card, they're both out for their next game. So maybe now Auschwitz sits, Tino picks up a yellow in the next game, and we kind of reset everything before the Porto game, which comes up in a couple of weeks.
But Alfredo, to be honest, there was a foul, one of Tino's latest fouls. I mean, in some of the games, that most likely would have been a yellow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think they played it close, man. I thought it was too big of a gamble to take. As you mentioned, you didn't want to have both of them out at the same time. But I just wish that Roger would have handled the whole situation. I'll pass it on to David.
No, I was just going to say, on top of that, too, you're seeing these injuries come up, and not that we want to see more players get injured. That's not the point I'm trying to make here. But you need to be prepared for if and when those injuries happen, right? We've seen Gonçalves go down. Rafa is sick. So that's two key players that we have going forward. You got to start introducing Tankstead and Schaldrup to get accustomed to this team. I know they're definitely getting their trainings in behind the scenes, but this is another example of where we could have given them some real game minutes to see what they can do with this first squad, build some chemistry, see how they integrate with the first team squad. And I mean, if this is the only thing that we can really criticize Roger Schmidt, then he's having a hell of a season. But again, just wish they were brought in.
Sooner. Yeah.
And
so,
you can
I don't
see
know
that, if... that little short spell there, Schaldrup got that chance. And I think he wanted to prove something. Yeah. And I think at the moment just got a little bit too big for him there. But you could see that
twice.
This kid has something there.
Twice.
No, it was the one that he was in front of goal, and he's trying to do that short bit, short dribble, and he got caught cutting back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you answered the question. So who comes in for Auschwitz? Is it
it's Rafa. Hums? He's healthy. It's Rafa.
Yeah. Rafa. You're right.
Rams up top, Alfredo.
Yeah. You're right. I meant to say Ra and it went with Ramos.
Yeah, you're good. Because if Rafa was healthy, Neres would have probably been the guy sitting out. Unfortunately, been the guy missing out on the opportunity. But,
yeah,
you know, it worked out. He scored 2 goals. I thought he did a fantastic job. Player to match, as you guys mentioned. Now Arsenal misses out, and you throw in a Rafa. But it's a totally different situation because, as I mentioned before, I'd rather not have Arsenal playing on the wing. But the guy does an excellent job of pressing. He brings so many other aspects to the game that a lot of times you miss if you're just paying attention to the ball, right? And obviously you're going to miss that in a game such as you know, a team that we struggled in the first half, if you guys recall. We really got lucky to get away with a draw from Guimarães. So it's going to be very interesting. Rafa brings different attributes, different, you know, he's a totally different player than Arsenal is. You know there's not going to be as much pressing on the defensive side of the ball. But with the ball at his feet, he's also going to give you something that Arsenal does not. So, therefore, it's going to be very interesting. But look, as I mentioned before, and I'm going to mention it again, we finally got options. So, you know, it's a lot better now to go from an Arsenal to a Rafa or an Neres in this case than the Diogo Gonçalves, Moose, you know, those other types of guys. So, I think we'll be all right.
100%. I'm with you on that. I mean, it would be worse if we didn't have options, but we do have options, which makes our lives a lot easier. Dave, I want to say something about this game and just the whole situation in general, but why don't you give us some stats so I get into that?
Yeah, for sure. Neres with a brace, has now scored in back-to-back games, after scoring against Club Brugge earlier in the week. First time since September that, Neres has scored in back-to-back games. João Mário with this 21st goal of the season. He's back to being the co-leader alongside Gonçalo Ramos for the league's top scorer with 15 goals in the league this season. And it's Benfica's sixth consecutive victory, 10 wins out of their last 11 across all competitions. Team is rolling.
Yeah, sure are rolling. What I wanted to address and talk about, and forgive me if I'm going to get on my soapbox here and have a little rant. But this whole situation at this Maritim Stadium, everybody knows that Madeira Island, as well as Açores, most are Benfica fans. So obviously there's going to be Benfica fans trying to go to the game. There's also people traveling from the mainland to the islands to go watch this game. I don't understand why clubs keep segregating fans. Right? One thing is to segregate the no-name boys or Diablos Vermelhos. I get that. Why? What danger do any of these fans, the common fans, are they going to present to you in the main stands? Right? We're talking about families. We're talking about fathers. We're talking about fathers and sons, grandfathers, mothers, family members that go watch the game that never get a chance to watch Benfica once a year in their hometown. What is the problem of allowing fans to mix like Benfica does in the main stands? Okay. The other thing that I have is the fact that a lot of fans, especially for the general bancada, so not the bancada restricted for Benfica, there was a lot of fans that were made to take their scarves off. And there was a pile of scarves. Everybody saw it. There's a picture on Benfica's Independence Twitter where the scarves were basically a pile right outside of the game. Then we have the situation with the young boy at the end of the game that hopped the fence, ran over to Neres, asked him for his jersey, was bowing to Neres. I mean, look, if you're a football fan, regardless of what your club is, regardless of what your color is, football is about passion. When you see guys or kids, especially kids, that they have this innocence about them going onto the field to ask for their idol's jersey, you shouldn't be penalized. Obviously, you should be talked to, but he shouldn't be penalized. So apparently, the police identified his father. It's what they call in Portugal when basically they take your name and you go into some kind of a record, albeit not something that's very serious, but they identified his father. But let me ask you something. What is Pedro Proença trying to do with this leak? What is he trying to sell? A league of exclusivity? A league of segregation? A league where the big three are the big paydays for a lot of these teams, yet the league allows these teams to put these restrictions on and not being welcoming to fans that want to watch the game, regardless of whether they're home fans or away fans. Not to mention that the tickets for these games are always extra high for the away fans. So what's Proença trying to sell? And what is Benfica doing about taking a position about everything that's going on in this league as it comes to the fan experience, right? We're talking about the centralization of rights, right? What's Benfica's stand on that? Because Benfica could very well say, no, I don't want to go in that because our pie is going to be cut up. And why should we feed Maritim? Why should it feed other teams that are not fan-friendly, that are not going to treat our fans with respect? Because all they want to do is really watch a game. You know, so I just don't understand. The league needs to take a position. It's ridiculous that the league has remained mum to this situation, leaving it to the clubs, kind of pushing the dirt to the clubs, let the clubs do what they want. But it's amazing that if you're trying to sell a league to the masses, to outside of Portugal, and you have a situation where this happens that makes a situation where it's not conducive to go watch a game. And that's why you watch any of the game other than Benfica, or you watch one of the mid to low tables, and the stands are absolutely empty. Is this the product that you want to sell? Do you want to sell a product in which clubs have total domain of what they do, and they could segregate fans, and they could do all these types of actions that are against what the game's about, what the passion is about, what entertainment is about? Is that what you want to do as a league? Is this how you want to sell your product? Because if it is, then you're going the wrong way, because sooner or later fans are not going to want to go to games because of the way they're treated. And the conditions are not really there. And the clubs, rather than being fan-centric, right, making nice conditions for fans, regardless of whether they're home or away, it's totally the opposite. They act like the away fans are public enemy number one. Kids are being forced to take off their jerseys. People are being forced to leave their scarves at the doors before they come to the fans. And they're segregated to a particular area. How is this about the spectacle? How is this about the fan experience? And I'm sorry, but I mean, looking from a distance here, and I haven't experienced this firsthand, but looking from a distance here, I got to tell you, this is bad. This is bad business for the Portuguese league. And I think that Pedro Proença needs to do something about that. He needs to do something about this. He needs to do something about the empty stadiums. He needs to do something about the active play time being the lowest in Europe. What is this product that he has in his hands, and what is the league doing about to improve it? The scheduling issue, been a problem for years. They don't seem to be able to schedule the season out like in EPL, where they, if they need to adjust, they will adjust. But no, we get dribs and drabs of confirmed scheduling. Is this the product that you really want to sell? I don't know if it is. I'll get off my soapbox, but it's just an angry situation, this whole thing. And Benfica fans are really, whenever they go away, are being ostracized, and they're being discriminated against. And I think within the game of football, discrimination shouldn't exist.
You want to go first, really, Dave?
Well, I was going to just say, really can't add more onto that other than, I know this is a Benfica podcast, but some more examples of how shitty it's being run in terms of segregating fans and just getting opposing fans into the building. Look no farther to what happened today in Porto too. I know there's a couple of Twitter threads being retweeted, and I retweeted it. So if you want to check that out, the Inter fans that traveled over to Porto had a fiasco trying to get into the stadium. A lot of them weren't able to get into the stadium, assaulted by the police officers. It's just another another black eye on the Portuguese league, and I'm hopeful that something comes out of a negative situation, but we've seen in the past what doesn't happen, so we'll see what happens. Cautiously optimistic, but I don't think anything's going to change anytime soon.
Well, two quick things on this. First of all, the one thing you need to remember the most is people, the powers that be in Portuguese football can give two shits about the fans. That's number one, okay? As long as you understand that from the get-go, you'll understand a lot of these buffoonery decisions that go on throughout Portuguese football. You'll be able to understand them right away because you'll know right away that they don't give a shit. And the other thing I wanted to make, Alfredo, is look, I agree with you on 90-95% of everything you said. The only thing that I unfortunately have to disagree with you on is I understand you're trying to make a plea and a case for the young kid that climbed, you know, the whatever, that got through and got on the field. And, you know, it looks like it's ugly when the police approaches that and whatever. But look, man, unfortunately, you can't allow that to happen. Because what happens when you allow a child to do that, then in the next stadium it's going to happen. Then there'll be two children, then three children, four, and then it'll be adults. So, man, unfortunately, that side of the game, that part of it, you have to shelter the players from fans jumping over and getting onto the field. I mean, I know it's ugly, and a lot of people not want to admit this, but, you know, I have no problem in saying it, that you just, unfortunately, because of a few bad apples, everybody has to adhere to the same rules.
No, but look, I understand that there's rules that you can't go on the field, but that, I mean, we see exceptions all the time. I mean, it's happened with Ronaldo, it's happened with Messi, and certainly...
No, it did, but it didn't happen with Ronaldo. The guy got locked up in Miami, and Ronaldo wrote a letter and appeared to the judge so the judge could be lenient, but the security at a stadium, Alfredo, there should be no exceptions. Because,
right. No, I understand that.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand. I just think that it needs to be handled a certain way. It doesn't have to be made public that the kid's parent was, you know, identified by the police. But I do understand that. I do understand that there's the rules for the safety of everyone involved, both the fans and the players and everyone else that's involved in a game in or outside the four lines. And I do understand that. But I think it's just... I think it's just the whole thing just gets compounded by everything that we saw happen before the game and during the game and the way the fans were treated. And I think that maybe I'm upset and I just kind of dragged this onto the situation. But I do understand what you're talking about, Chris. There's rules and regulations that should be followed. And if we open exceptions, then we'll have a childcare in the middle of the field at the end of the games.
I'm not trying to be Dr. Scrooge here, but at the end of the day, it is a fact. I mean, you start letting one child, what's going to happen the next game? It'll be two children. And then the next, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's ugly and it sucks to say it, but you have to keep order. And it just, it is what it is. You know?
I get it. Let's go on to the next game. Benfica or Benfica's next game, I should say. Benfica will host Guimarães, the first team to take points away from Benfica this season. We'll be without Oshness, as I mentioned. The game happens Saturday, 6 p.m. local, 2 p.m. here in the east coast of the U.S. Daylight savings time has started here in the U.S. or whatever, or the clocks went forward. Whatever, I don't know if it's called daylight saving time. The clocks went forward, so it hasn't gone forward in Portugal. I think they do that at the end of the month, so keep that time difference.
It's 3 weeks, right? It's about 3 weeks now in the spring. Yeah.
Dave, what's Guimarães up to this year?
Guimarães this year, they are currently in fifth with 40 points from 12 wins, 4 draws, 8 defeats. They suffered a 2-0 defeat against Arouca this past weekend, but prior to that, they had only one defeat in their last six, going five wins and one draw during that spell. Historically, 124 wins, 30 draws, 25 defeats. Last five wins, five draws. And the last five at the Stade de Luge, 2 wins and 3 draws.
Yeah, Chris, playing at Stade de Luge is always it's been a big advantage for us this season, but certainly Guimarães is going to come in and try to do something.
Yeah, they're going to try to do something. But I think Benfica at home has shown throughout the season that they're just too strong. I know, as I mentioned before, Guimarães played his tough at home. We got lucky to come away with the draw there. But this Benfica we've seen of late, they're rolling. The game will be Saturday. I know we'll find out on Friday who our next Champions League opponent will be because the draw will be on Friday. Maybe there will be a lot of excitement in the air. You expect another packed house, and we've seen throughout all of Portugal, when Benfica plays a football match, that the support is there. The fans are always able to lift these players to the next level. You've seen the Marítimo coach this weekend saying that, you know, he felt like the Abafo Vermelho, like the Benfiquistas in the stands, man, they really lifted the club to the next level. You could just tell, man, Benfiquistas throughout Portugal support this club and the players themselves, they react well and you know, to that type of support. And I just think it's going to be too much for Guimarães to handle at home. I expect another 3-0 victory.
3-0 victory. I'm going to write that down. What about you, Dave? Expectations?
I think it's going to be a little bit tighter than a 3-0. I'm thinking 2-1. Guimarães, you know, got to give it to them. They always play organized against us. They gave us some troubles last time earlier this season. I think we come away with the 3 points, but I think it's going to be more closer than a 3-0
victory. Dave, I'm going to give you a red card, bro. I'm going to start giving you red cards on the podcast.
They do that every Benfica FM, dude. He's copy.
Dave is always pessimistic. Can you ever predict the shot?
I have been scarred many times before. Come on. So I'd rather be wrong in this way than to come out and say 5-0 and then have it be a 1-1 draw. So 2-1.
I'm going to go with 2-1 also. I know that we haven't. Dave, if you look at the results, we've only given up a goal in a lot of games. I heard that somewhere.
But yo, Dave, don't worry about this guy. Dave, don't worry about this guy taking over your job.
No,
man. A goal in a lot of games.
I saw that.
Here. Dave, look it up. I heard that somewhere. I forget where it was. I don't know if it was. I don't know. No, but if we only allowed one goal in the past, I want to say 6-7 fixtures.
One goal in the last 8.
There you go.
21 scored.
I had it somewhat right.
Against Marítimo in 19th place, against Arouca in 38th place, against Paz Freire in 58th place.
They all count 3 points, Chris. 3 points and 3 points against Marítimo, Arouca, whoever. Yeah, 15-0. Yeah. Hey, Cynthia. Yeah, look, I think that...
Madeira says 5-0. Bruno Gil Rodrigues, 2-0. Brown, Lien. Epa, what's this? Whose nomes?
Nick Valadão, 3-1.
Nick Valadão, 3-1. Justin Aragão brings up a good point, Alfredo. He wants you to know not to worry about this whole Liga situation, because when the Liga hosts the Supertaça in Saudi Arabia, it will be all good, that. Brother. It will be all good.
It's all good. 4-0, reigning entertainment, 4-0 with a Sheldrup goal.
Epa, tava contigo até o Sheldrup.
Flavio says 2-0. It's coming, man. Red Baron, 2-0.
Except David Alfredo. Everybody else is confident.
No, I think we'll win, but I think we'll give up a goal. I think that... I still can't believe we re-signed with Vlaco Dimos.
Why? The guy's spectacular. Everybody loves
him. Josh Perez, 2-0. Put some money on it.
That's it, Josh. Yo, everybody loves
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with over 2.5 goals total and a win by Benfica and maybe an assist by Grimaldo. I think that's a sure bet.
Now you're asking for too much.
It's too much. It's too much. Anyway.
But it'll be interesting to see, because Benfica, after this game, we play Guimarães on Saturday. And then we also play Rio Ave, right? Before the international break, or do we play after the international break?
Dave, We don't play Rio Ave until April.
Ooh.
I'm sorry?
We don't play Rio Ave until April.
Okay. That's what
this
I'm saying.
This is it for the month of March.
Then the international break, and then come back Rio Ave and the Futebol Clube do Porto at home. Where things can get really interesting. Hopefully the Benfica ball boys are up for it.
Yeah, Glenn Gomes makes an important point. Let's hope Varela sees the lose and puts in a performance like he did when he was playing for Benfica. Good shout. Not the performance piece, but we haven't forgotten about Varela. But man, you never know when Varela is going to be showing his stuff.
We're still waiting on that $15 million transfer.
Chris went out. Anyway, here we are. So yeah, I mean, I think that we're all excited. We're all excited about finding out who our next opponent in the Champions League will be, and certainly we look at some of these teams. Dave, Inter.
Inter.
Bring on Inter. Bring on AC Milan. Right.
Yeah. Neither one of them are playing.
Oh, Red Baron saying Varela is out, and so is Bamba. I know. I read about Bamba, but I didn't know he was going to be. Yeah, and Braga plays Porto. Porto is bound to go on a downward spiral after the way they lost today, and now they have to play Braga, Braga.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure that they'll have their way against Braga. But back to our potential opponents here. Yeah, none of the Milan teams scare me.
Scare me. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Chelsea doesn't scare me. I wouldn't mind a Chelsea. If teams that I would want to avoid: City, Bayern, Real, and even Napoli's playing top soccer right now. So those are the four teams that I would want to avoid. And Milan, Inter, and Chelsea, bring them on.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. Anyway, Chris phone died and the whole thing got screwed up. So Dave is only half a face in there. And anyway, that's all we got for this week. Next week we'll be back. We'll wrap up this Guimarães and international break. That time of the year that we love so much. Take care, everyone.
Back.
Dave.
Have a good one.
You too, bro. Later.